It's remarkable. We don't think about it too much in this time. Three score years ago, it would have taken a few weeks for me to get from my house to yours. It's amazing I could get out of my bed this morning and preach to you tonight, be with you. That's something remarkable. So we thank the Lord for that, for this privilege of coming back and being with you. Looking forward for some mutual comfort and communion in the Lord together these days. We'd like you to open your Bibles to the 10th chapter of John. 10th chapter, Gospel according to John. I brought about 150 sermons with me, but I don't think I'll get a chance to preach them all, so you pray that the Lord will give us His Word. The human race may be divided into not more nor less than two groups.
That's right.
God confessors and God deniers. You one or the other.
Right.
Everybody in here. You a confessor of God or you a denier of God? Everybody. One or the other, though. You either worship and serve and admire the Creator, in which case, if you do not already, you will shortly bear the mark of the Lamb. Or you worship and adore the creature, in which case, you already got the mark of the beast, the creature. There's no in-between than that. Everybody present and everybody you know is a God worshiper or a God denier. They worship and serve either the Creator or the creature. You've got a banana republic a few hundred miles west of you called Louisiana. It's part of the United States. It doesn't seem to be much like it, but they passed a creationism law a few years ago, got everybody up in an uproar, and it finally got to the Supreme Court. And some, I forget his name, I don't know who the bird was who wrote the opinion on it. The law stated that where evolution, the theory of evolution was taught, that creationism ought to also be put on an equal basis. And the judge said that the legislators in Louisiana was trying to get the public school to teach the theory that we exist and everything about us exists by act of some creation by some almighty being. They call that a theory. I don't guess he must have read the Constitution. That fellow spoke to interpret it. And the preamble to the Constitution, which manifestly works from a premise that we were created. Yeah. But that's the tone of the majority and the masses in the land, and reflected in the highest court in the land. Let me say, if you open my introduce my message tonight with a few remarks. We do not believe in God because we believe the Bible. Now, we believe the Bible, but that's not why we believe in God. If I were to tell you I believe in God because I believe in the Bible, you'd ask me why you believe in the Bible. Can you give me any reason why I ought to believe in the Bible? There's no book. Book, printed, paper. So that's not why we believe in God. We don't believe in God because we believe the Bible. If you believe in God, you don't believe it because you believe the Bible. That's not why you believe in God. We are not Christians because we believe the Bible. That's not why we're Christians. We do believe the Bible if we're Christians, but that's not why we're Christians. Nor are we Christians because we believe in God. Christians do believe in God, but that's not why we're Christians. Demons also believe in God.
Right.
They believe in the absolute sovereignty of God.
Yeah.
They Calvinists.
Yes, sir.
We are essentially subjective creatures. By subjective creatures, I mean that we become what we are because of what we experience and what we are subjected to. We're subjective creatures. Of all that we are told, we believe only what we experience. We believe because we experience something. You say, Brother Merrill, I don't believe that. I'm objective. If I never experienced anything, I believe the Bible. Yeah, I hear you talking. But if you never experienced anything, you'd never believe anything. And you only believe that truth of which you've been taught, and you've been taught an awful lot more truth than you've experienced. I guarantee you I have.
Yes, sir.
You might be ignorant if you hadn't been.
Yes, sir.
That's an awful lot I hadn't experienced yet. Truth, true as it is, must ever remain in the obscure realm of doubt and uncertainty until we live it, until we experience it. You know why we believe in God? We believe in God because it works. We don't believe in God because we believe the Bible. We believe in God because of what God has done, because of His works. We believe the Bible because we believe in God. I don't prove God from the Bible. I prove the Bible from God. I believe there's a God. There's established that there's a God. That God has got to be God. He's going to be God. He's got to rule. He's going to rule. He's got to say something. He said something right here. That's why I believe the Bible, because I believe God. People don't believe the Bible, don't believe God. We believe on Christ because of God's work through Him. That's why we're Christians. We believe on Christ because what God has done in Jesus Christ. And we believe Christ's word, that is, what Christ has said, because we believe He's God. Now, our text is in the 10th chapter of John, verse 37. 37th verse of the 10th chapter of John. Here's what Jesus said to some Jews having a little trouble believing who He was. They're fussing at Him. He said, "You're making yourself God." Verse 37, he offers them a very reasonable proposition. He says, "If I do not the works of my Father, I don't blame you for not believing me. You're not responsible. I will not hold you responsible for anything if I hadn't done some works." If I don't do the works, if I'm not doing divine work, hey, it's okay. You're right. You don't believe it. You see? He puts his credibility solidly on the basis of the work that he's done. If I haven't worked the works of God, don't believe me. But if I do, though you believe not me, you still don't believe me. Believe the works. Now that's heavy, isn't it? I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I said, that's all right if you don't believe in me. You talk about the long suffering and patience of our Lord. God standing there facing them, flat footed there, we don't believe you. That's all right. If you don't believe me, I can forbear with you, but I'll tell you one thing, you better believe the word.
Yeah.
That's where he draws the line. And that's where the great watershed is. Though if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father's in me and I in him. If you don't believe me, believe the works, that you might believe. I'll speak to you tonight upon God's works. The great watershed. Great watershed. I went out beyond the Continental Divide. My wife and I did several years ago out in Colorado. Over on the other side, we went over the hill for the watershed. The waters run toward the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic. They call that the Continental Divide. It's the watershed of the continent. God's works, the great watershed. What God's done. You're going to see what God's done, you're going to slide off on one side or the other. You're going to say, God did that. You're going to wind up a creationist and a God confessor. You don't stumble at the word. At least you're on the right side. But if you look at God's work and say, God didn't do that. That just happened. That's self-creation, evolution. It just evolved. You're a God denier and a worshiper of the creature. You are imputing creation as its own creator. That's what evolution is.
Yes, right.
We create ourselves.
Yeah.
And you worship the creature. And you go into hell. You slide off on that side. You're already down the hill. You've gone down the hill. God's worked the great watershed. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, I'm among you. I'm here. I'm on the scene. Open your eyes. Look around you. Listen, come to your senses. What are you looking at? Are you looking at God working? Or are you just looking at chance, happenstance, possibilities? Is God in all of your thoughts? Or can you see no higher than the creature around you? You like a hog, see no further than the end of your snout. Looking at the ground all the time, never look up. Where are you looking? God's great watershed, his works. I want to talk about, first of all, God's work of creation. God's work of creation. What God does, Psalm 19, the 19th Psalm. His creation speaks. You know it? God's work talks to you. God's word and God's works. The heavens are saying something. Have you been listening to the heavens? The heavens declare the glory of God. God's created celestial creatures. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, a talking. And night unto night showeth knowledge. Open your eyes, look around you, get smart. God speaking. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I go down in Mexico again this December. I don't understand what them fellas saying. They wouldn't understand what I'm saying if I didn't have an interrupter and an interpreter interrupted me, telling folks what I'm saying. But dear friends, when me and the Mexicans and the Frenchmen and the Italians and the Russians and everything lift up our eyes, look around, we hear the same thing.
That's right. That's right.
There's no speech or language barrier there. The 10th chapter of Romans says they're lying. It says, quotes it here, verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. God's words speaking, testifying, declaring the glory of God. Listen to me, folks. I love the Word of God, the Bible. I've got a brand spanking new double name on it. The first Bible I've been preaching for 34 years. This first Bible I bought since I've been preaching. They gave me one when they ordained me, Schofield Reference Bible. I didn't have no better sense to use that. I wore it out. And then the church gave me an Oxford wide margin. I wore it out, and the fellow preacher over in Arizona felt sorry for me, and he saw me carrying that pattern dragging around, and he bought me a Cambridge wide margin. That was 16 years ago, and I just retired it. And nobody around to buy me, you know, I wasn't bothering myself. I'm thankful for this Bible.
Yes, sir.
I got enough years yet, I think, to wear this now too. The Lord willing. But let me tell you something. Burn every Bible on the face of the earth. Tear up all the printing presses. Kill all the printers. Burn down the churches. Shoot all the preachers. You had silenced God's word.
Right.
One iota. Not talking just a little. Loud and clear and forcibly and responsibly as it was before there was ever a syllable or a letter or a phonetic ever created in the human language. God talking. There's no language, no tongue where their voice is not heard. This makes all men accountable to God. Look, and then Romans chapter 14, the 14th chapter of Romans. Verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. You know why? He made you. You're a creature and he's a creator. You're his possession. He can put you in hell if he wants to. He'd rather save you, but you're his, whether you're in hell or in heaven. He can do what he pleases with you, he's Lord.
Right.
Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. You might be a God denier now. One day you're going to be a God confessor.
Amen.
You may confess him in hell.
That's right.
But you're going to be a God confessor.
Amen.
Be good if you do it now.
That's right, brother.
so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We are accountable. It is his works. It is his works that has made us accountable. You may stick your head in the sand. Stick your head in the sand and look around down there, and you still gonna see his works. Wherever you go, get on a rocket, go out into the reaches of nothingness and look around. You still see his works. Wherever you go, you cannot hide from that voice. We're accountable to him with or without the gospel. Whether you ever heard the name of Jesus or not, irrespective of the revelation of Jesus Christ, whether you ever regenerated or not, with or without the Bible, you're still responsible unto him. There is no lie, no tongue, no people, no creed, where this voice is not heard. This God's work of creation is the first revelation of man's depravity. Where do you get the total depravity? Where do you get that doctrine? Huh? I get it out of God's works.
That's right.
How do you get it from there? First chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress and push back, shove down the truth and unrighteousness. Why? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. What's he talking about? His creation.
Right.
His eternal power, it testifies of his omnipotence.
Right.
It testifies of his eternal existence. It testifies of his indivisible Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's why they shove him back. Don't give me no Bible. Don't come around me, preacher. He's already mad.
Yeah.
Why? He done heard from God. He done had about that. Don't come shoving that crap at me. Don't give me none of that stuff. He's already got his hackles on. Because that when they do God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but they came vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Not going to have any God. They're going to be God themselves, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, creature, to birds, creature, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. One other passage, let me show you. Are you keeping place there in Romans from John chapter 3 and verse 18 and verse 19? For this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So he hates the light. This is the first revelation of man's depravity. His refusal to believe in the created God. It has never been stated more succinctly than one prominent evolutionist who faced with the absurdities, the preposterous assumptions that made in evolution that these things could evolve themselves into what. Let me tell you something. I'm reading a book now written by a medical doctor. Know something about the human anatomy, comparing it to Christ the head, church the body. This is what he said. the number, the electrical connections in one human big brain. That little boy right there. Little girl. Anybody, pick in one single human being, right, 4 billion of us on the face of the earth, the electrical connections in one normal person's brain, the number of them rival the stars in the universe for number, not in one person's brain. You tell me that that every single neuron, every single cell in your brain are all connected with one another and sending millions of messages, intelligent signals, every second, whether you awake or when you sleep.
Amen.
The evolutionist said, certainly what we're saying is preposterous. The only reason we hold on to it is because the only other answer,
amen,
is creationism. That is unthinkable. We're not going to have it.
Amen. That's right.
We're not going to have it. We're not going to have it. Hell power, we're not going to have it. That means there's a God.
That's right.
That's what men met about. You see, dear friend, it's God's works at the watershed. It's God's works at the watershed. You're going to go to hell because you don't believe God made you. You're going to go to hell because you're going to refuse to face what's clear as a nose on your face. I think you're going to hell. You ain't going to hell for rejecting Christ. You're going to hell for not believing God's work, what he's done. That's a great watershed. Makes all men accountable. It reveals our rebellion, our ingratitude. We don't want to bow and say thank you. They want to throw out our chest and brag about ourselves, profess ourselves to be wise. It is the root of idolatry, and God's fixed it so to demonstrate the stupidity of man who believes that he's his own creator, and he has that man going out there and taking a pocket knife and a block of wood, making his God, falling down before him. Yeah. Idolatry, professing themselves wise, they became a fool. Such a fool. Look at that guy. He goes down there and whacks down a tree. And he cooks his dinner. And he builds him a fire and warms himself. And well, there's a chunk he got left over. And so he whittles him out of God and falls down to it. Isn't that absurd? Became fools. And brings in all immorality and all sorts of condemnation. And so it is the first testimony of man's depravity, God's work of creation. And yet, it is the first basis of believing unto saving faith. The 17th verse of the first chapter of John says, therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you believe, if you'll honestly start believing, like Jesus said, and the proposition he made to those unbelieving Jews, he made to you today, saying, what if you don't believe me? Believe the works. Start out that. Start out, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from one level of faith to another level of faith. But dear friend, if you don't start out there, you slide off on the other side. You don't. You don't. It's the first basis of believing faith. Secondly, I want to talk about God's miraculous work among his creation. That is, those of us who has created his creation in the worlds that he has made. We see, first of all, his work in revealing Jesus Christ as his Son, revealing his Son and as the Christ in the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't have to bring him in here like that. he could have just sailed on down. Took upon himself a form, assumed a form, sort of an illusion, or he could have done like the angels and materialized here. He could have brought him in through a woman who already had some children, had he wanted to do that. But he chose to demonstrate and testify that Jesus was the Son of God by having something happen that was utterly impossible to happen. That is, a woman who had never known a man intimately became pregnant and bore a child in a womb. Never known a man. That's the way he brought him into the world. Brought him in that way. We also see that he chose, the Lord chose. He chose to do his miraculous works on this earth. And he didn't perform those miracles simply for the end that was met there, the changing of the water into wine. He didn't have to do that. How are the feeding of the 5,000 or the 7,000, the healing of the sick, the causing of the blind to see, the raising of the dead. He didn't simply do that because that dead man needed to be raised, or those people needed to be fed, or the blind man needed to see. If that were so, he'd raise all the dead people, and all the blind men would see. He did that to demonstrate that he was God. These are the miraculous works of God, the sheer number of his miracles. We see those testified back over in John in our text in the 10th chapter, a few verses earlier from our text. Those folks talking about it. Verse 19 of chapter 10. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he got a devil. He crazy. Why are you listening to him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Demons don't make men who've never had any eyes see. They make some of these goober heads see out of glass eyes temporarily. Yeah, they do that. They tell folks this and that and the other, that no demon ever done anything like that. They had sense enough to know that. They demonstrated who he was. Their unmatched magnitude. Who raises the dead nowadays? Oh, I heard that Oral said he had. Let him produce him. You know, if Oral Roberts had raised me from the dead, I wouldn't mind telling folks I was the one.
I'd be there.
Can Oral find him? When you read about the one in the Bible, there, the Bible gave the name.
Yeah.
And he had ten folks who knew about it. Where's he at? Where's these fellows raising dead people? Where are they that finding the fellow who ain't never walked? Never has learned. Good baby's got to learn to walk. And they smarter than grown men. It'd take a grown man years to learn to walk. But this fellow never had walked. Lame from his womb, he jumped up running around, doing calisthenics and acrobatics. Who done that? And dear friend, don't think his enemies wanted to explain that away. I said, what are we going to do about this thing? Everybody knows that soul.
Yeah.
That fellow ain't never had no eyes. He see him now. How are we going to do with that? Their public demonstration and their unchallenged historicity, as many enemies as Jesus had on the scene when he performed those miracles. Anything been fishy about that? Don't you know they got that out?
Yes, sir.
As many enemies he's had for all these 1900 years who's hated him just as much as all people who crucified him. If they had found anything wrong about that, don't you think we'd find out about it? No, sir, dear friends. Why do you do all of that? This. God's works is a great watershed, folks. God's works is a great watershed. I know a lot of folks say, well, you know, the PTL thing has hurt Christianity. Ain't there no such thing. Now, if it were a part of Christianity, it might have hurt it, but it ain't nothing Christian about PTL. No more than the Christian militia in Lebanon or the Irish army over there. Bunch of liars and thieves and whoremongers and sodomites and widow robbers.
Right.
Nothing to do with Christianity.
Right.
No resemblance to the Christ of the Bible. No, sir. That ain't nothing to do with that. That's not the works we're talking about. We're talking about the works of this man called Jesus Christ. Now, if you discredit him, you explain those out, dear friend. Okay. All right. You get by without believing, dear friend. But these are going to still stand up. You're going to have to face God for that. You're going to have a hard time explaining that. That's what made us accountable. It reveals God's works among his creation, reveals men's wickedness in their unbelief. Verse 32 of chapter 10, Jesus answered, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stall me? Which one of these good works do you stall me? Their wickedness in his good works. His works bring the elect to rest in him. In the second chapter of John, verse 11, the works do not precipitate saving faith. That's the gift of God. But they do bring us to rest in him. John 2 and 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed on him. You'll find also in the second chapter of John a little bit further along, it says when Jesus was risen from his dead, they knew that he was the Christ. It makes the elect to rest in him. It also separates the apostates from the reprobates in the 10th chapter of John. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not my sheep. As I have said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Modern man nowadays says, you're not my sheep. You're not the Lord's sheep because you don't believe. That's the reason you're not the Lord's sheep, because you don't believe. But the Lord said, you don't believe because you're not his sheep.
That's right.
Amen. It manifests God's works, manifests the difference between the reprobate and the elect. Reprobate's going to slide off on the backside and go to hell.
Yeah.
The elect don't believe God did this. My sheep believe me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We see it again in the third chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 8 says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Verse 17, whom was it grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that it sinned whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Saying, fell and saw his works. To whom swear he they should not enter into his rest? To them that believe not, when did they not believe? In the face of his works, in the face of his mighty works. It wasn't just those words Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. They have eaten God's grace, walking in God's grace, breathing God's grace, sowing God's grace, fighting up, following God's grace, protected by God's grace. Can God set a table in the wilderness? And he said, God.
Yes, sir.
Saw his mighty works. Well, you know, this is some kind of natural phenomenon. Can you imagine that bunch of unbelieving reprobates explaining that away as some happenstance? You and I do the same wicked thing when we do not give God the glory and the recognition of working and doing this. Some believe in themselves, others believe in God. His works, his miraculous work among his creation. Let's bring this down a little closer to home. The miraculous blessings in our own life. In our own life. Someone told me a while ago, I'm looking good. I don't think I'm any prettier, but I sure am feeling better than I was this time last year. Doctor was about to put a pacemaker in me. About put me out of pasture. Crippled old man. Done more out. I don't know what happened, but I got 17 more heartbeats per minute. I'm feeling good now. Now you might say, well, that just happened. Sure, it did happen, but it didn't just happen. My Creator is the one that determines my heart rate, not no pacemaker or anything else. It's my Creator. The Bible teaches some things, and I believe every one of them that I've experienced. You know why I believe in tithing? I don't believe in tithing because the Old Testament teaches it, and it does teach it, but that's not why I believe in it. I don't believe in tithing because it is commended and confirmed in the New Testament. And it is commended and confirmed in the New Testament. But that's not why I believe in tithing. I'll tell you why I believe in tithing. My wife and I got married very young. She didn't have any sense and I had less. I had been 17 for a full week. I borrowed $30 to get married on. 6 years, 3 kids, and one on the way later. We were converted. And our financial fortunes had not increased substantially since that time. We were both baptized. She was carrying our daughter when we were baptized, both baptized in the same pool together. And we was learning just as fast as we could, and just as hungry as we could. Both eyes, mouth open, and ears cocked around to the good side, listening to everything we could, and trying to believe all we could. And we heard folks talking about tithing. What a blessing it was to tithe. And we found out that was 10% off the top. Well, we were just like anybody else. We spent everything we earned plus 10%. And so what in the way on earth that we could tithe? We was 10% behind, not ahead. Yeah. By the time we got the check and we paid the bills and got groceries, we went to church on Sunday morning with our pockets empty. They didn't jingle no more. There wasn't nothing to tithe. Well, 1 week, we got the bills paid, but it's kind of late, and we forgot to get groceries. And so we went to the church with our money in our pocket. And we got to thinking, so this would be a good time to find out before the last soul and I've got that tithing business. Well, what are we going to eat next week? I don't know, but you know what they're saying. You know what the Bible said. Trust me. Prove me. Well, it'd be a good time to do it. We'll never find out any younger. And so we put the money in. And the next Monday morning, I gathered up some pop bottles and stuff and took them down and got enough to buy to get some breakfast. And I went to work. And I got back in that evening and she met me at the door and said, you won't believe what happened. I said, what'd you do? Go borrow some money and get us some groceries? She said, no, that ain't what happened. She said, you remember about 2 years ago when you was working on a roof and a fella come by here and you hired him to help you for a half a day, And I had to stop a while and think about that. And that happened 2 years ago. I was putting a roof on the house. A fella come by and I hired him for a half a day. Never saw him before then, hadn't seen him since. Yeah, I remember that fella. What was his name? She said, I don't remember. But he was out, we lived on the north side of Houston. He was out on the south side, 30 miles away, where he was working a frozen food locker broke down, full of frozen food, and the food was going to spoil. And they was giving it to anybody who would take it and haul it off. And he loaded up the back end of his car and hauled that all the way over to the north side of town to some people he didn't know, and knocked on the door and asked my wife if we could use some groceries. I'd be even tired. Now that ain't the only time, my dear friend, I'd give you a good start. I can tell you lots of stories like that. That's why I believe in tithing. I've experienced that the Lord invites you to trust Him.